the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the flagship podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com. Joined, as always, by the managing editor of Horns247, Taylor Estes. And Taylor, it is almost 1:20 on Sunday morning after Texas pulls away for a 41-20 victory over UTSA. Jeff Traylor and the Roadrunners in a game that Texas trailed 17-7 in the second quarter after the Roadrunners scored a touchdown, captured an onside kick. Two plays later, they throw a double pass, trick play touchdown to go up 17-7. And according to Steve Sarkisian, no one blinked, Taylor.
Yeah, that's a surprising thing. Or I shouldn't say surprising. I feel like this is becoming a little bit more of the norm, Chip, with this team. You know, I think it's surprising to see it a little bit early in the season because when adversity struck last year, it just snowballed out of control, basically. And so I almost feel like this was kind of a culture win. You kind of saw it a little bit more, and back-to-back weeks, to be honest, between this game and then the Alabama game too. I feel like you're starting to see like that culture talk we heard all offseason was real and it was legit. And it showed up today for sure.
Well, Steve Sarkisian said that Texas was going to have to run the football in this game because they got a quarterback in Hudson Card who's allegedly got a high ankle sprain. He didn't look like he had a high ankle sprain on a 32-yard run on second and 22, easily his best play of the game. But they do lean on the run, not just Hudson Card's 32-yard run, but Bijan Robinson breaks loose, finally goes over 100 yards rushing in a big way, including a 78-yard, a career-best 78-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. Bijan Robinson saying after the game that Steve Sarkisian told him, this run is going to hit this way, and you're going to have a chance to break this thing. And Bijan said it hit exactly as he said. And that was part of the reason, Taylor, that Steve Sarkisian was so pumped. I mean, he was like overjoyed, pumping his fist, coming out on the field to meet Bijan Robinson, in part because apparently Sarkisian said, run through him on this drive, and then told him exactly how that 78-yard touchdown run would hit.
Yeah. I mean, he talked about that in post-game, in his post-game press conference too. He said that, like, you know, kind of the run game took a little bit of time to kind of get going. And he was like, just stick with it because one of these is going to break loose. It's going to break through. And that kind of was a little bit of the dam breaking loose, to be honest, for this Texas offense, this Texas team in this game. I feel like that run, that 78-yard touchdown run, as you said, is now his career best at the college level, surpassing his former career best 75-yard run from the 2020 season. So yeah, that was a huge game-changing, momentum-shifting type of play, Chip. And I feel like, obviously, Bijan Robinson's never really been the type of guy that we're sitting here wondering if he's going to, you know, let adversity bring him down. Like, he's not. You know, he's one of the best players in college football, arguably the best running back in college football too. And Jeff Traylor talked about that actually leading into this game, that this is the best running back in college football. And just seeing just the way that everything seemed to change after that huge touchdown run, it was almost like it was like a little bit contagious, I think, for the entire team, not just the offense.
Yeah, I mean, that touchdown broke open a 17-17 game, made it 24-17 Texas. Then on the next drive by UTSA, we had the crazy situation where it looked like it was a touchdown pass. They ruled DeSean Jameson pushed the receiver out of the end zone. He came back in. They ruled it a catch. But upon further review, he didn't have control of the football. They have to kick a field goal. It's 24-20 at that point. And then we get the play of the game. Jahdae Barron, the 44-yard interception return. Frank Harris throws the pass a little high. It tips off the hand of his tight end. His bowling ball, 285-pound tight end, Cardenius, who I love that dude. He had huge plays for UTSA as they built that 17-7 lead. But that ball tipped off his hand right into the hands of Jahdae Barron, 44-yard interception return for a touchdown. That makes it 31-20, Taylor, and that was a little bit of a dagger because after that, the defense came through again. Huge third down stop on Frank Harris. Huge fourth down stop. Keandre Coburn collapses the pocket. Frank Harris throws the ball. I mean, it should have been caught, let's be honest. But Zachary Franklin maybe sees Diamante Tucker Dorsey closing in on him. He drops the ball, and Texas takes it back down the field. And, you know, including that 32-yard run by Hudson Card and puts the game away, you know, for all practical purposes. And Texas ends up winning this thing 41-20 in a game that really, as we just mentioned, I mean, Jahdae Barron's pick six comes with 18 seconds left in the third quarter, Taylor. Texas dominated that fourth quarter, but this was a tight game until 18 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, that third quarter, that was when Texas took the lead back, you know, with Bijan Robinson's run. That Jahdae Barron interception pick six was huge, absolutely huge for it. And then the other thing, too, when you talk about Hudson Card's scramble on second and 20, was it second and 22, I believe
second
it was?
Second and 22.
I mean, that kid, I feel like Steve Sarkisian said it best in his post-game press conference. He said, this is a kid who, when I say he bleeds burnt orange and white, he bleeds burnt orange and white. And he could barely put weight on his ankle just last week. And he had not been fully practicing, really. He was progressing, you know, in his recovery. And C. Sarkisian said, you know, up to Thursday, essentially. But, I mean, that was a huge, huge play. And then, you know, it also helped set up Bijan Robinson running in a 41-yard touchdown. That was, I believe, in the fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean, this was a team that played together and that fought together and played through adversity. And it really showed up in a big way. And I feel like if Texas can get healthy first, that's the biggest thing right now. But if they can continue to play as one, as a team, as they have been for since the start of the season, then this is a team that could, you know, ruffle some feathers in the Big 12 race, because the Big 12 is all over the place a little bit right now. It seems like, at least. And my God, Kansas, we're sitting here talking about Texas. Kansas 3-0. Like, you never know what's going to happen in this Big 12 this year. But Texas has shown, I feel like, week in and week out for the first three games of the season, that they can hang with the best of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you and I were talking, you know, right before we started rolling on the pod, which, by the way, Sam Acho cornered us in the press box tonight to say that our flagship podcast is the only podcast he listens to and loves it. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, thank you, Sam. That was an awesome thing. I was not expecting that.
Wish we had a little camera crew for a testimonial.
I know.
But I'm not sure that Texas will face a better quarterback the rest of the season than Frank Harris, who, you know, I said on this podcast with you, Taylor, that UTSA's receivers weren't going to drop passes like Alabama's receivers did. And then Zachary Franklin did drop that fourth down pass, but they were catching everything early on. And Frank Harris was going up and down the field. He was 12 of 15 passing at halftime and had converted 5 of 7 third downs. I mean, he was doing whatever he wanted to do. The Texas defense came to life in the second half. And then DeMarvian Overshown has probably two of the best plays you'll ever see, where he makes a diving pass breakup. Then he curls right behind a defensive lineman and is face to face with Frank Harris and sacks him for an 8-yard loss. And you're thinking, okay, huge play. UTSA is going to punt. And oh no, it's targeting on DeMarvian Overshown. He's ejected from the game. Right now he faces a suspension from the first half of Texas's Big 12 opener next week at Texas Tech. Now, there is a new rule that allows a team to appeal that targeting call to the league office. The league office will review it. And if they agree with your appeal, they will pull back the suspension. So Texas clearly is going to appeal this because on that hit, DeMarvian Overshown did not bow the crown of his helmet. He was face to face with Frank Harris, chest to chest, and made a great play. And because their face masks hit, they call targeting, which give me a break. So
yeah.
We'll see if the Big 12, this is a new rule. We'll see if the Big 12 throws down its first appeal of the season as it pertains to DeMarvian Overshown.
Yeah. And that was something like, I don't think any player wants to hit somebody in the head. Like, and they don't want to get hit in the head either. This is just where the targeting rule, for everything that it's supposed to be good. And I get it. And it's an important thing to look out for player safety, especially in such a aggressive and type of sport like football is. I mean, there was nothing DeMarvian Overshown could have done to change the way he
hit. Other than like crane his neck backwards.
Yeah. And then what does that do for him? I mean, right. That's a dangerous move too.
Then he gets hit in the neck.
Yeah. And gets his, you know, head whipped back. I mean, I understand the logic behind the targeting, you know, flags. I totally get it. But this was one of those where it's like, man, like this is probably going to be called or, you know, stand for targeting, but it wasn't targeting. I mean, like just because their helmets hit does not mean that it's targeting and intentionally hitting, you know, or trying to hurt, you know, another player. And Steve Sarkisian was asked about it. You know, what was the explanation of why they confirmed the call for targeting. And apparently what he said was Frank Harris at that point was a defenseless player. And that is why it was called for targeting. I mean,
that's such a tough call with a guy who can run and move like Frank Harris.
Yeah. It's not like Quinn Ewers who's not going to use his legs really. And you know, I mean, it's just they're with a mobile quarterback, you have to go in, you know, and it's like if they move, and it's the same thing with like even like skill players. Like, that's the one thing with the targeting rule that always kind of gets me. It's like their body changes position as the defensive player, like on defense, not defenseless, defense player is already going in for a tackle. And just because the offensive player changes their, you know, where they are, then it gets called for targeting. Yet somehow, offense, you know, players on offense can run the ball and lower their head and just absolutely destroy a defenseless defensive player, and they never get called for targeting. It's like, oh, we'll call it both ways then. You know, it's like there's been plenty of calls or plenty of times where you've seen offensive players like intentionally try to just lower their head and lower the helmet and target a defensive player, and it never will get flagged because it's just like an offensive penalty or a penalty on defense for offensive players. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate. It's going to be interesting to see if the Big 12 will overturn it. I feel like anybody that watched that play would be like, they should, because it was not egregious. He didn't launch. He, you know, didn't lower and hit with the crown of his helmet. I mean, just everything, what the targeting rule is supposed to be by definition, it really wasn't there except for their face masks hit each other.
Yeah. It was not a great night for the Texas defense, but they played great when they had to. They gave up a bunch of yards, as we mentioned. They gave up a bunch of third down conversions, 9 of 16. And Texas committed 9 penalties for 88 yards. None of that is a positive, but they came up with some big plays. I thought it was interesting. DeShawn Jameson got beat for a touchdown, but the touchdown was called back because of a penalty on UTSA, an illegal formation. Or no, they weren't set. Illegal motion. They had 2 players in motion and didn't get set before the ball snapped. But Steve Sarkisian took DeShawn Jameson out of the game after that play and said, "Hey, relax, play your game, and let's go get it. You know, we need it." And DeShawn Jameson played really well after that. Had a huge pass breakup on a possible touchdown pass later in the game. And you know, we talked about the pick six by Jahdae Barron, some really good you know, collapsing of the pocket by Keandre Coburn. We talked about this last week, Taylor, with the defensive linemen penetrating now instead of just trying to hold and read and react. We're seeing some really good play up front, and it's leading to some good stuff for the guys in the back end. So not a great game for the Texas defense, but they played great when they had to, especially the pick six by Jahdae Barron that really helped break this game open. Because look, this was a real mindset, like you said, culture win. And they got to go on the road, and they're going to play a Texas Tech team that lost tonight to NC State that's really good at home. And this defense has to travel until this quarterback situation gets righted.
Yeah, it does. And I will say this. You can look at the overall stat sheet of what the defense gave up and the yards and stuff. They gave up 20 points. I mean, that's the same that they allowed from Alabama. And when you're talking about the third down conversions with Texas being 9 of 17, I believe it was, giving up 9 of 17. In the second half, I believe that they were 4 and 10. Of third down conversions that they gave up. So really it was a first half issue when UTSA was really kind of rolling a little bit. And let's be honest, when we look back at what Texas defense was last year, oftentimes they started games really strong, but then after halftime, it was like the wheels kind of fell off. This was the opposite. This was a defense that was giving up a lot bigger plays, more explosive plays, obviously, like, couldn't get off the field on third down in the first half. They made adjustments, and then it changed it. Sure, like, the overall numbers really does not look great, but still 20 points, and then...
And only 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so that just shows, like, that's a night and day difference from the defense that Texas fielded in 2021 in Steve Sarkisian's first year. One thing that is interesting is Pete Kwiatkowski last season was in the booth, you know, and now he's been on the field for all 3 games of the season. And Steve Sarkisian was asked what prompted that. And Steve Sarkisian's like, sometimes you just need to kind of have the feel for the game on the field. And a part of me is wondering if this is just that little tiny tweak of moving him from the booth down onto the field with the team, being able to see exactly from the field, not from above. I mean, I feel like that could be just a tiny little tweak that could be crucial, because I feel like it's showing up. It is showing up. And if they have halftime adjustments like this, that's you couldn't ask for more if you're a Texas fan after last season.
Well, the other thing to note is Gary Patterson cannot be up in the booth.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't wear a headset either.
Right. He's on the sideline where he can communicate with Pete Kwiatkowski. He can, Gary Patterson could wear a headset if they wanted to allocate one of the headsets to him. It cannot have a two-way microphone. It right. can only be a listen. Now, he doesn't wear a headset, but he is on the sideline, and PK is on the sideline as well. They can communicate better. Steve Sarkisian was talking about, you know, sometimes you got to look your players in the eyes and feel your players on the field. But you're right. And look, you can talk about yards. You can talk about third downs given up. You can talk about, you know, some big pass plays here and there. But the bottom line is UTSA had a 20-play drive to start this game. It took 8 minutes and 27 seconds off the clock, and all they got was a field goal.
Right.
You will take that every day.
Yeah, and just like in the third quarter, they had the time of possession in the third quarter, they had the ball for 10 minutes and 32 seconds compared to Texas offense having the ball for 4 minutes and 14 seconds, I think it was, in that quarter, obviously. And they only scored 3 points, too.
Yeah. It's because Bijan was running 19 miles an hour down the field
yeah.
on a 78-yard touchdown run and then hit him up for more.
Yeah. But that's crucial. I mean, because if you go back even last year, the time of possession differential and the losses that Texas had, Texas was 1-7 last season in games where they did not control the time of possession, and they were 4-0 in games that they did. That is not a coincidence. It's like, I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, and people are probably like, shut up, Taylor, but the best defense is one that's not on the field. And when the defense has to be on the field for extended drives like that, it wears them out. And UTSA obviously having the onside kick that they recovered to put the defense right back on the field, you know,
call.
Back. The great call for sure. But again, the fact that Texas in the third quarter, you know, the defense was on the field for 10 minutes and 32 seconds. They only gave up a field goal. That's a huge, huge, huge shift of what you saw from last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas gets waxed in the time of possession game tonight, 36 minutes to 23 minutes and change. But the big plays, the limiting UTSA in the red zone, the pick six, obviously. And let's give it up to special teams. Bert Auburn, 2 for 2 on his field goals, including a 44-yarder. And our man, Trejo.
Yeah, Daniel Trejo.
Daniel Trejo from Texas Wesleyan. 3 punts, averaged 45 yards, Taylor. So special teams does it. And Keelan Robinson got his hand on a punt that still traveled 35 yards, but they'll probably give Keelan Robinson a block for that, even though it didn't go backward and result in outstanding field position. Keelan Robinson still just being a menace to opponents on special teams and ran hard. Keelan Robinson is a fun dude to watch.
He's
only a junior. Taylor.
Yeah. He's so fun. And it's like what I every time I see him make a play, I think back to what, you know, we only get to talk to coordinators once every year, pretty much is all we get. Well, we got Jeff Banks before the start of fall camp, and he talked about Keelan Robinson being one of the toughest and hardest hitting type of guys that's on special teams. And he's like, we can just set him loose because our running game is so good that we don't necessarily need to like treat him with kid gloves in the event that he is going to like be hurt or something like that. And they're not going to have running backs. Like, and you've seen it. Like every time I see him make a play, I'm like, that's exactly what Jeff Banks was talking about. That's why they let him loose. And he's a fun, very, you know, tough, hard nosed type of player. And I mean, you could just tell he loves the game of football too, which always is fun. Chip, before we continue this conversation, we're going to take a really quick break, but stay tuned. We have plenty more to digest from Texas 41-20 win over UTSA. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I do want to say one thing about our man Hudson Carr, because gutsy performance, fantastic. Texas needed him tonight, and he came through. But the deep ball, oh, good Lord. So Xavier Worthy dropped one he should have caught. Hudson Carr badly missed Xavier Worthy on another one. But, oh, my gosh, he had Jatavion Sanders wide open in the middle of the end zone, waving his arms. And Hudson Card was like the only person in DKR who didn't see Jatavion Sanders. He ends up throwing a 8-yard comeback route to Xavier Worthy. And you're going, no, throw it to zero. Wow. Was that a tough one, but obviously Hudson Card makes up for it with that 32-yard run on second and 22, but something tells me Quinn Ewers would have had that ball in flight to Jatavion Sanders for a quick six. But the good news, Taylor, Quinn Ewers throwing before the game. No sling. Steve Sarkisian talking about how much he's improved. And it sure sounds like Quinn Ewers could be back way sooner than the typical timeline for that sternoclavicular sprain. It sounds like he might be in the mix to go to Lubbock next week. We'll learn more early in the week, but that's really good news that Quinn Ewers is apparently made of polyurethane.
I mean, it's like when we had Riley Dodge on the podcast. I mean, he said like Quinn wasn't, you know, he had double hernia surgery. He was not clear or healthy to go. And he leads South Lake Carroll to the state championship game. You know, I mean, that's just, he's, I don't know what he's made of. I don't know. I don't know what is making him up to be able to do this, but that was very surprising to see him throwing the ball at all. Now, he did not throw it when the team came out, you know, for like in fully dressed out or anything in the
team
like
warm-ups.
The team warm-ups. He was not actively participating, which obviously we didn't expect him to play based off of everything that we had heard. But still, like, he was out there before the team warm-ups started and was throwing it well too. That kid's a fighter for sure. He's tough as nails. I feel like Texas has two quarterbacks that are tough as nails that we've seen so far. And I still want to see what Malik Murphy is too, but these are two guys that if they're able to go, they're going to go, and they're not going to protect, you know, whatever it is that they may like, or be afraid to put it all out in the line. And I feel like it's almost like kind of what Texas had in Sam Ellinger, right? Like just these guys that is like, they're warriors. Unless you like this forcefully tell them you are not going to take the field, they're going to try to do everything to take the field and help this team. And that's crucial. And Texas has two of them. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see when Quinn Ewers does come back.
Yeah. Well, as we point toward Texas Tech and the Big 12 opener next week, there's a lot to feel good about if you're a Texas fan. We just mentioned that Quinn Ewers is probably on a faster timetable than anyone suspected after the injury against Alabama. we talked about Hudson Card being a gamer and having experience playing on the road, which is critical. You know, you don't want to have a redshirt freshman like Charles Wright getting his first taste of college football in Jones Stadium in Lobotics, because that's a different world out there. But there's a lot to be excited about. I mean, the quarterback play has been solid. The running back position is loaded. The offensive line is holding up. It wasn't great tonight, but hey, Bijan Robinson went off for 183 yards. Roschon Johnson averaged 7 yards a carry. This offensive line is going to get better. And the receivers, you know, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, we didn't see much from Casey Kane tonight. We need to see more from Jatavion Sanders. Guy's so good. But in this defense, answering the call, giving up another 20 spot to a conference champion that won 12 games last year, I just feel like Texas is starting to show us that maybe they can play to their own standard. And next week will be a whole new test, Taylor, but a lot of positives to take away from tonight.
Yeah, there definitely are. And I think that the key, Bijan Robinson, obviously, everyone expects him to be the best player on the field. Like, you know, when the offense takes the field, you know who the best player is on Texas. The defense, I feel like they're them being able to fight back and just really come, you know, make halftime adjustments, things that people question about Pete Kwiatkowski and this defense in 2021. You're not seeing that. And that's huge. Now you have to see it on the road. Cause you know, if your defense needs to travel, like how you will always say, I'm stealing your line there, Chip, but you've got to see it on the road. Texas has not faced any road games yet this season. However, if that defense, there's no reason at this point to question it. And I am quite surprised that we're saying that, right? Like at this point, right. I mean, it was the biggest question going into that and the, you know, how the defense would be and how the offensive line was going to look with so many young players, including two true freshmen starting, including one at left tackle. I mean, my God, like that is, you know, you never know what you're going to get. And it just seems like
he's the best lineman they have.
Yeah. And they both continue to show up. Like you said, you know, the offensive line had not like they weren't elite, I would say, like today, but still you see them getting better. That's all you can ask for when you have such a young offensive line. And then I feel like you're seeing the defense, even though, yes, they gave up, what was it, 408 yards total, I think it was, or something like that, to UTSA tonight. 20 points.
20 points.
It's all that you need.
Three in the second half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
17 in the first half, 3 in the second. Halftime adjustments are actually showing up in a positive way and not against Texas this season on defense.
Yeah. Texas wins the turnover battle. Texas has a 0 in the turnover column. UTSA with the huge pick 6 interception and 2 other fumbles that they were able to recover. But Texas with some big plays on defense when they needed it most. Special teams a plus, and could be good quarterback news coming for Texas. So there it is from Texas's 41-20 victory over an incredibly feisty, opportunistic UTSA team that, man, did they execute their game plan in the first half. And the onside kick, the double pass touchdown, the 17-7 lead on Texas. Jeff Traylor was in it to win it. Lost another offensive tackle tonight. UTSA now has lost 5 offensive tackles for the season. That happened in the first quarter, too. But amazing game, an amazing win for Texas. As we said at the beginning, this win is going to resonate. I think Texas fans need to feel really good about this win because they may not face a quarterback as good as Frank Harris again. And
yeah.
I watched all the games in the Big 12 this weekend, and I will stand by that. So for Taylor Estes, I'm Chip Brown. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe and keep the faith.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.